In for George Norrie tonight, doing open lines. Thank you, George, for giving me the opportunity. Hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend. Hope it comes in a carefree kind of kickback, enjoy whatever wonderful warm weather you're in kind of way. I know that I'll be taking next weekend off, and I don't know who's going to be filling in for me, but it'll be good. Perhaps even a little extra George Knapp action or something. I don't know. Either way, it should be a great weekend. I know we've got a great show coming up tomorrow night on Coast to Coast when I do my usual Saturday thing. Joel Barker is back, one of the most respected futurists. He had this very cool show here a couple of years ago. You might remember he put up a test on his website, and people were taking the test to find out where they were on the future curve and stuff, and it was great, like what, how they were prepared for the changes that were coming. And so you just never know when Joel's coming on what he's going to be talking about, except that looking ahead at 2009, he, like a lot of people, have been noticing some distinct changes ahead, not the kind necessarily that you're hearing about in the news or might even anticipate yourself. And we'll talk about that coming up tomorrow night from him and how you might be able to benefit from that as well. Otherwise, the rest of the night for you is just, well, it's you. So it's your ball. You're going to run with it. We'll take open lines for the rest of the show in any direction you want on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Ponet. I did throw out a possible topic when I did crypto news last hour. If you want to check out the blog, by the way, that's there too at coasttocoastam.com. But the story we linked up at the website was the breakthroughs that will change everything. It was a article in Live Science, and it had a couple of different predictions. One of those was that be it through genetic or mechanical engineering, we humans are bound to change. We're going to be evolving as the branches of the trees of life and of hominids continue to grow and spread. Many of our grandchildren will likely engineer themselves into what we consider a new species, one with extraordinary capabilities, a Homo evolutus, as the scientists refer to it as. I thought that's an interesting idea to contemplate, too. And if anybody wants to address it, might be a thread to run through open lines, how you think we might evolve physically as a species, what we might be able to start doing, or things that we would no longer be able to do, what we would no longer need, you know, sort of the equivalent of the loss of a prehensile tail or of a, you know, of the appendix or whatever. Bobby's in Ohio, though, and it's open lines. Where are you going to take us, Bobby, and get us started?
Hi.
Hi.
I'd like to share something incredible with you.
Okay.
In 1976, I was in a very dark place, and I didn't really believe in Jesus.
Okay.
But I came to the point of suicide. And I called out to Jesus, and I said, I don't know if you're real, but if you are, I need your help, and if you don't answer me, I'm going to take my life. And the room that I was in lit up like daylight, and he changed my heart. He came in, and he filled me with a peace that I can't even describe. And about a year after that happened, I started dreaming this person, and I didn't know who this person was, but I began to pray for him. And the more I prayed for him, the more I dreamt about him, and the clearer he, like he was coming closer and closer to me. And he ended up on my doorstep.
Well, cool. What did he? What was he doing? Selling Amway, or was?
Well, I was living with my mother at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we had lost our job, and we had no food in the house, and he showed up on my doorstep with a food basket.
Well, that's great. And so did you marry this man?
Yes, I did. We've been married 26 years.
Oh, that's a great story. Well, congratulations on that. Thanks for sharing. Interesting. Good way to get us started. First-time caller line, Cherry is in Indianapolis on Coast to Coast AM. Cherry?
Yes. My great-grandmother, she was able to know when somebody was going to die. There was like experiences that she had where she would see caskets go by and somebody would die. And I mean, I know that this gift has kind of run through this intuition through our family, but because I was raised in the Christian church and stuff, and told to be careful with things like that. I kind of, you know, stayed away from it, exploring that, and actually have a little bit of a fear of it because of Pandora box that you could open up. My question would be to you, if you feel this way, does that mean that you're not as spiritually evolved? What does this mean? Does this just mean that you're just being careful with it?
Well, how would being careful mean you're not spiritually evolved? I'm not sure I get the connection there.
Well, just because you're not using your, whatever your gift is. In that sense, you know, if you have a gift, if there's a gift in me and I'm not using it, but I just feel like, I don't
know.
Well,
let me just say, I think we all have some gifts that we don't use. So we all do. I don't think that just because one is particularly talented in one area that one should dedicate one's life to pursuing that. I'm a much better dancer than I would appear to be, for example. And I don't go out dancing. I've never studied dancing, but there was a time in my life when, you know, I won a couple of dance awards and stuff. And so, you know, just because you can do it doesn't mean you're really led to do it. Are you really compelled to explore this and you're holding yourself back from doing it?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really. It's just like, you know, if I saw a purpose to doing it, where I could prevent something from happening that was going to happen, then maybe I might be more inclined to want to explore that. But,
I think you can always explore things in baby steps. That's my advice to you. And when it starts to feel wrong, listen to that same intuition. Go, you know what? This isn't for me after all. And if you should follow that path and it takes you to someplace, it doesn't mean that it's not, in my opinion, that it's not of God. I mean, it doesn't mean that you're entering into something evil or anything, that you can explore something like that to find out what it's about.
That you can know when something's evil and when something's not, too. You feel
there
that.
There you go. There you go. And that's why I stopped dancing. I saw Footloose and I thought, no, I said, this isn't for me. No, I didn't. Let me go to, Jeff in Chelsea, Massachusetts on Coast to Coast AM. Open lines. Jeff, where are you going to take us?
Well, the future, basically.
All right.
You see, I believe that history repeats itself.
Okay.
And you see, I believe that the direction that America is going to is just like the ancient Roman Empire, ancient Israel, and pre-Nazi Germany. And I have a couple of good reference books, Through the Eyes of the Enemy by Stanislav Lunev, The Origins of the Fourth War by J.R. Nyquist, and the whole book of Lamentations in the Bible, Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, and so forth and so forth. Because
okay.
The bad things that are happening in this country always have a precedent in the past. This country, right now, in Massachusetts, has homosexual marriage, abortion, and carving up the nation of Israel. And you see, when a nation does those three things, then the nation croaks itself.
Well, Kate, that interesting perspective. You're welcome to have it. I don't know that I would agree with you on the biblical reference. And actually, you know, I'm kind of a student of the Bible, and biblical times were pretty brutal, much more brutal than the times we live in now. And they weren't condemned as brutal. They were actually sort of, that brutality was canonized. The idea of when you conquered an army, that the you were entitled to take and kill all of the men, enslave the children, to put the women into prostitution or marry them off as you pleased. That was part of the brutality of the time. You wiped out your enemy completely, and that was ordained, you know, as something which was expected of the faithful. So I think every age has its things with which we would disagree. And I think that there's a lot of things we look at from, especially if we go back into Levitical law, if you're going to quote Deuteronomy, there's a lot of things I'm glad we don't do that's in Deuteronomy that says that we should be doing that we don't. And treatment of homosexuals is one of them. The idea of killing people just because they're gay. I hope you're not advocating that. Let me get to Neil in San Francisco on Coast to Coast AM. Open lines for the rest of tonight. Neil, where are you going to take us?
Hey, Ian. First time talking to you. Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too.
I was born in Massachusetts. I'm a Yankee. That's why I left there.
Nothing wrong with being a Yankee, but why San Francisco?
No, I've lived here 32 years. I had two stories. The first one I was wanted to tell you was when I was about 10 years old living in Massachusetts, my aunt on my father's side, she was actually abducted by aliens. And when she told us as a child, and I was 10 or 11, she wouldn't really talk to us because everyone in the family thought she was crazy. Mm. But they actually abducted her, and they made a mark near her breast, near her neck. You could see the one there.
Wow.
Neck.
What was the mark like? What did it look like?
It was like a red spot, but what she would tell us is that she didn't want to talk about it because everyone thought that she was crazy and they'd lock her up. But right. I wanted to hear about it, and what she said was that she lived up near New Hampshire, on the New Hampshire-Maine border. She had three Alaskan shepherds, and when it was about 4 o'clock in the morning, everything got still, and all of a sudden, there was a huge light, and the Alaskan shepherds, instead of barking, were all whimpering. She went towards the light, and they actually abducted her, brought her on. She remembers everything. And then probing her, but she couldn't get away from them. Her husband thought she was crazy, but she didn't want to talk to anybody about it.
Hmm.
And that happened on the border of New Hampshire and Maine. When I would go to, I went to Catholic school, I remember the Look magazine where they did things on abductees. I brought it into.
Right.
I talked to the nun. She said, don't talk about those things, foolishness. So I believe that there are other beings from other planets. I don't really think that they're here to hurt us, but I think the government has collaborated, and the government's not going to tell us.
Wait, can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they hurt your grandmother?
It was my aunt.
Or your aunt, sorry. Do you think they hurt your aunt?
No, they didn't hurt her. It was just that psychologically, you know, she was afraid to talk about it because people would think, you know, she was psycho.
But in a way, I mean, because the way you describe her life afterward,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't sound pleasant.
No, it doesn't. And the thing is, you get around, this was the, like, 1967,
66. Yeah.
So people then, I don't think they really believed in anything like that.
Yeah.
But she had the proof. But the second thing I want to tell you was last year when Art Bell wanted everyone to have a collective consciousness.
Right.
And I live in San Francisco on... I went to the top of the roof of my building about 8 floors, and something strange, I did the little ritual. I looked up in this, and I didn't get a chance to tell Art or George this, but as I looked up, it's about 3 o'clock in the morning, I saw a huge, I'm talking about like 747, at 3 o'clock in the morning, this like, sort of like Etruscan, Greek, what are they called, a Trojan horse?
Yeah.
But it was a bird, and it had a... I mean, it was huge, and the thing was, it wasn't, it had a wingspan that was almost mechanical, and I live near the ocean. It was flying towards the ocean, no sound. I called my friend in Italy on the cell phone. He said, I thought I was nuts, and I said, I've never seen anything like this. What kind of bird that big would be flying towards the ocean at 3 o'clock in the morning? This looked mechanical, like it was,
yeah.
It was something like governmental or military or... And I never saw anything. It had no light, but you could see it from the moon, and the moonlight.
It would make the argument that so many people have that the disguises, the camouflage out there,
yes.
is so good that we wouldn't recognize it most of the times,
yes.
And it could be right in front of our face. Very good. Thanks, Neil. Interesting. Appreciate that. Open lines. Let me move on. JJ is in Green Bay, Wisconsin, on Coast to Coast AM. JJ.
Hi, Ian.
Hey.
I am a victim of how unconstitutional this country is becoming. I am actually being charged in a criminal case for what amounts to an argument with a restaurant manager in Eau Claire. What happened is I'm a homeless man.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going through Eau Claire recently. This was December either 18th or 19th. And I see a restaurant, made a few bucks.
Okay, wait. We're going to leave names out of this. I hope that they bleep this. We can't get involved in your lawsuit or anything like that. So don't. I want to hear the story, but you can't be using us as a way of getting back at somebody from a legal standpoint. Okay.
Oh, I see. Okay.
All right. Go ahead then.
So I go into this restaurant, and you know, I said I'm going to order about some food.
Right.
First, does anyone have a lighter? Right. I wanted to light a cigarette, and they were like, they just looked at me stupid and said, no one has a lighter. And I says, man, I can't believe how hard it is to find a lighter. And one of the waitresses says, well, if you wanted a lighter, you want to light a cigarette, you need to get your own lighter, right? I call them names, I call them a name, and I walk out the door, okay? And I'm just about off the property. A restaurant manager comes running out screaming at me, get back here, bum, get your butt back here, yada, yada. So I go back there, and to make a long story short, we're just exchanging words with each other. I sensed him as a threat. That's why I went back to face him. And he's calling me homeless trash and all kinds of other names, doing everything he can to taunt me, right? Well, he steps into me a little bit. I step into him a little bit. Our bellies bump for a second. And then he, like, backs off, and he's like, ha-ha, I got you now. You're going to spend the holidays in jail, ha-ha-ha. So as soon as he said that, I realized he was not a threat to harm me, and I grab my stuff, and I walk away. Police pick me up about a block later. I can mention the name of the city, right?
Yeah,
okay,
certainly.
So this is in Eau Claire.
Right, you mentioned that.
And so the police asked me what my story was. Now, mind you, I never threw a punch, never shoved this guy, nothing like that.
I'm waiting for the constitutional part. I mean, the part...
Well, they are charging me in a criminal case for this argument. That's what I'm talking about.
I end up
getting picked up, and they are taking me. I am actually being charged in a criminal courtroom, not municipal, criminal courtroom for swearing at this guy.
Municipal still can be criminal, right? But the I guess what I'm getting at is what did you originally call that waitress or call the person that didn't give you the lighter?
I called her the B word, and I didn't do it because the lighter thing. I did it because of the attitude they were showing me.
I understand that. So they didn't obviously take kindly to you doing that. So, I guess it sounds like a dispute. It sounds like maybe something that'll get tossed out by a judge. Maybe it is just one of those things where tempers got going and they'd had three people abuse a server that day and decided to stand up for it. And you were the person that happened to be number three. So sorry about that if that turned out to be you, but hopefully then you'll be able to avoid any kind of serious jail time out of that, and your rights will be upheld. Just because you're charged with something doesn't mean, by the way, we don't have rights. Our rights are often what come to our aid after we've been charged with something, right? We can't just evoke the names of our rights and then walk away from something. Sometimes it's actually that thing which saves us. So I hope that if that's all that it is, as you present it, that cooler heads will prevail in court. But boy, I would avoid dropping a B word to anybody. And if she doesn't have a light, she doesn't got a light. Should be the end of it. Let's go ahead, though. Let's find out where you are. Open lines. Just exactly what kind of world do you think we're going to be living in sometime in the future? Nobody's taken up the challenge of what might happen to our bodies, how we might be evolving. It's a story I threw out last hour in crypto news, and I don't know, I keep playing with that. How might we be evolving? What would we need less of? What would we need more of in the future that our bodies might adapt to? Or that we might engineer our bodies to adapt to, too, which is the other question that hung out there. Or wherever else you're going to take us. Coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. In for George Norrie, this is Ian Punnett. So, it's another night of open lines on Coast to Coast AM, and you never know where it's going to go. I mentioned earlier about John Travolta's son, and details are still sketchy on this. But it is sad. 16 years old and no drugs, no alcohol involved, reportedly, but had some sort of seizure in the house and then hit his head on a bathtub. That's how the story stands on that. And if you're inclined to pray, you might want to hold the Travolta family in your thoughts on that. And it was a vacationing story. So you think, you know, you hate to have something like that happen on vacation. Apparently, the boy, they say, the family says, is Kawasaki syndrome, which often leads to heart disease, not autism. There have been reports that the boy was autistic, but the Travolta family has always denied that, saying it was Kawasaki syndrome. And that's just all that we know at this point. And heading into this year, does that answer to one of the predictions that was made last night? They're talking about celebrities being involved in tragedies last night. I don't know if that rises to the level that was suggested, but if you go back in line, you listen on Streamlink, you'll hear the predictions from last night's show, which is the annual sort of professional prediction show. And there were some very scary ones. And I think we get a couple of threads on that going, too, when we get back to Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Let's pick up Open Lines where we left off with RJ in Anaheim on Coast to Coast AM. RJ?
Hi, am I speaking with George Norrie?
No.
Ian Punnett?
Yes. Yeah. George is off tonight, but glad to have you anyway. Go ahead, RJ.
I'm only 13 years old, and I'm really into evolution and stuff like that, and it's come to my mind that over time people have evolved from essentially the form of a monkey, and we moved from the plains, lost our tails and stuff, and during the plague in medieval times, people died, and the people who didn't die had some sort of immunity to it.
Okay.
And that people now that are European have eventually bred a gene that makes people immune to the Black Plague. And my theory is that possibly we could end up doing that with cancer. We could breed each other to the fact where we are immune to diseases like diabetes and cancer in the future so that, you know, we don't, not as many people would die.
And how would we do that through natural selection?
Maybe instead of, you know, looking at how hot somebody is, maybe look at their medical records or something like that.
That's an interesting idea. There's already, you know, there's been periods of time in history where people have done that, chosen somebody on the basis of how healthy they were. And in fact, if you look back and even in the literary record, I think you'll find some cases where times were, especially like, for example, in the Old West, did somebody look sturdy? Was somebody look like they would have healthy children? That was a much higher criteria than it is today. You're right. Good point. Well, that'd be interesting. Let's hope you're right. Be nice to think that however we do it, that someday we might be able to evolve away from cancer. Rich is in Chicago on Coast to Coast AM. Rich?
Hi, how you doing, Ian?
I'm doing all right. You don't mind all these jokes about the lack of a Bears quarterback, do you?
No.
I mean, you guys are suffering. I know. I just can't help but mention the obvious.
I'm sorry. I'd like to say I'm a first-time caller, and me and my wife and my son, Ty, listen to your show all the time, and we love the show.
Say hey, and, Ty.
The thing I called in tonight about is when I was 18 years old, which is going back about 20 years ago,
right?
Me and some friends were ATVing up in Wisconsin through, you know, the trails and all that kind of stuff out in the forest, far away from any kind of other homes or anything like that that would be in the area. And we stopped for a break in the middle of one of the roads that crossed, from one side of a trail to another, to stop and just take a little break from riding. And we sat there for about 10 minutes or so, and all of a sudden from one side of the woods, I had seen sort of a greenish glowing little thing start coming out of the brush and the trees and stuff. And it started to pass along the road when I got a real good look at it, and I had told a couple of the other guys that were facing the opposite direction of it. I said, what the heck is that over there? And they looked, and it's got to be about the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life. I looked a little to see it looked like a baby's body, very tiny little body, passing across the road, not on the road, but walking on all four, you know, how a baby would crawl.
Right.
And when they seen it, they immediately started their ATVs up and took off. And unfortunately for me, I didn't have the electric start ATV, and I was sitting there trying to pull start my ATV to get it starting with a pull start. And I got a chance to see the face of the thing as it got it going to the other side of the brush, and it turned and looked, and then turned and looked away, and the face of it looked like a 100-year-old man with a very wrinkly face, and like I said, just a very little baby-sized body, and it's the strangest thing and scariest thing I've ever seen in my life. And
what would you put it in the category of? I mean, what would you call that?
Boy, I don't know. Some kind of a. Maybe some type of spirit or something, or some type of a.
Demonic? I mean, that sort of a thing, or.
I don't know. It's very bizarre. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it. Just the, definitely something that's, to change my mind about believing that there's other things out there. When I seen that, that's when I started believing that there's definitely other things out, that are out in the world there. I mean, spirits and what have you. So,
yeah.
That's my experience. I was just kind of wondering if you or anybody's ever seen anything like that or have any ideas what that could have been.
Well, you know what? I can't. That's really compelling and very, I think, unique to you. I have told the story once before, and I'll tell it here real quickly, of driving when I was I was probably 8 or 9 years old, and we were going out to my grandmother's, and it was the middle of the night. It was probably a four-state drive, so, figure 13 hours in the car or something like that. And as we were driving, I looked out the window, and I was wide awake because I remember seeing my father and mother sitting in the front seat, and I remember seeing the glow of the AM radio on the dashboard and the whole bit. And I saw these two little hands, these little fingers holding on outside of a window of the car, and almost like the little hands were holding on against the strong wind that was created, running along the side of the car. And these two little hands were, I watched them, and I thought, there must be a bug or something. It can't be. And there was a little face that appeared, and 8 or 9 years old. Was it a night terror? Was I awake and it was a dream? I don't know, but I can tell you, I could still draw a picture of it. And the little face appeared right next to those little hands, and then suddenly the hands let go, and that little thing just disappeared. So I don't even know what to call that. Maybe we both experienced some sort of sprite or elf or something like the guest last week would have been talking about out in the woods.
Yeah, well, very bizarre, that's for sure. But that's pretty unique story.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you sharing that. Thanks so much. Have a great night. And let's get to, I think, who's on the line in British Columbia? I don't have the name for whatever reason on my screen. Lori Ann is in B.C.
Can you hear
on
me?
On Coast to Coast. Yeah, I can hear you just fine. I just couldn't see your name on the screen. Hi. Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Oh, go ahead.
Okay. I was just wondering, I wanted to get your take on something. Monday night, you guys had one of the guests you had on the show, and he was talking about what's going on with the government and why all this money is missing and all this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was basically saying that it's going to be like a tyranny eventually, like communism.
Some people believe that, yes.
Yeah. My question, do you believe they are looking in on us, on our computers?
Who's the they? And how does that connect to that other story, just so I'm trying to understand?
Okay, because your guest Monday night said that they're starting to delete different sites. I've been trying to get a hold of two sites this week. Do you know Alex Jones?
Yes, I know Alex Jones.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Every time I try to get on one of his sites, I lose my internet every single time.
What would be a site? Let's just do the experiment live here and see what happens. What's the site you're referring to?
Well, there's a few of them. Prisonplanet.com.
Okay, and every time you try to get onto Prison Planet, you get knocked off your internet?
Yep.
Okay, well, here's prisonplanet.com, and I'm loading in. It's a laptop, so it takes a second, and it's loading in just fine. On my end, it's just fine. Now, could it be that they are trying to keep Canadians from loading in? I don't know.
I'm just not sure. I can honestly tell you, though, I'm scared. What's happening?
Well, if it's any consolation, I go to Prison Planet pretty often, and I haven't had any problems.
Okay.
The one thing you might want to keep in mind is that the site is filled with stuff. And so
it
could be that your connection, the pipeline in your internet connection, isn't wide enough to get all of the material, and so it shuts off. So that might be something you want to look at, is just your, you know, what you're using to connect to the internet might determine your success in being able to get onto some of these websites.
Well, I have high speed internet.
That should be enough.
But I
click onto it all the time. So is there any other site you want me to try?
Yeah.
What else do you want me to try?
Infowars.com.
Sure. Infowars. We connect up to them all the time at coasttocoastam.com. And it's taking a second to load again because it's got a lot of, it has a lot of links and a lot of embedded stuff in it and some animation and... But, yep, there it goes. Totally loads in. So I don't know what to tell you there. But good luck, and I hope that if you might want to look, maybe you might have a high-speed connection that isn't working properly, and that's why you keep getting knocked off. But for whatever reason, those are two sites that I go to pretty regularly. I haven't had a problem. I hope nobody else does. Beth is in the Midwest on Coast to Coast AM. Beth?
Yep. Hi, Ian. How are you doing?
Hi. Good. Where do you want to take us?
Oh, boy, oh, boy. This is a real freaky story, and it's one that I would never, ever have believed. If anyone would have told it to me, or if I heard it on your show, I would have never believed it. But since it happened to me, I know it's true.
Okay.
Okay. I have to set it up a little bit for you, but I'll do it quickly. I recently got a BlackBerry phone.
Okay.
And I have no idea how to use it because I'm allergic to reading directions and can't
you and the rest of America.
Right. So just hours before this happened, I had, been like calling it from my landline to see if I could make it ring because I hadn't been able to make the phone ring or do anything. But I knew I was getting calls because you could see them on the screen, but you couldn't hear the phone ring or anything.
Right.
And finally, I wasn't getting anywhere with it, so I just put the phone down. And then at 7:19 a.m. on December 29th, all of a sudden I hear this, the phone is vibrating, okay? And it's like moving on the desk. And I'm like, oh, cool. At least it's doing something, you know? And I go over there and I look on it. I go to try to answer it and I see, oh, this is an email. And then I looked at the email, and it was an email from my father. And it was a chain letter, like a moral story. And it was
called, right.
Well, my dad died a year ago, the day that this email came.
Hmm.
And this email, although it showed that it arrived on my phone at 7:19 this year, or 2008, the original... It was written in, he had apparently forwarded it to me in 2006, and it didn't show up on my PC. I go over to the PC, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, what is this? Well, it wasn't in my inbox on the PC, but there it is on the phone. And when I read the story, he hated chain letters, and so it had to be a pretty darn good one.
Right.
But it was a... It sounded exactly like something that if he would have had a chance to tell me one last thing before he died, because he died unexpectedly, it was exactly something he would have said.
Huh.
And it was so freaky.
I bet it was. Now, I'm just trying to eliminate sort of mundane explanations for this. So did his computer, his personal computer, had it remained off the entire time? After his death?
Oh, after his death, they eliminated his email account and everything. That's been closed since he died, yeah.
Right. But no, but did they... So people had been going onto his computer?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, because so, I just wonder whether anything gotten stuck in the outbox or something like that, and it had already been coded and everything, and so somebody just happened to log on using that computer, and that one, you know, was
like a remnant or something,
cocked and loaded it, in the chamber, and just never fired because your dad died and nobody had booted up the computer.
Yeah, well, if that was the case, because people have been using the computer since he died.
Right. Well, that would make sense.
The account. I've never had that happen before.
No. I hadn't either. I was just trying to do what a good investigator does. And so I don't know. That's interesting. No, a similar thing happened with me when my father died, and about 2 weeks later, I got a package that he had sent to me. And I would agree with you. It was material that he would have wanted me to think about if he had one last thing to tell me.
Right.
And he had sent this package off. But in my father's case, it's because he's incredibly cheap. And so it was fourth class mail. So he'd actually sent it off the day before he died. And then it took that long to get the package to me. So it was very weird, though, when it came in the mail. I got to be honest. It was very strange. But, that's a great story. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to share it. And I'm sorry about your dad's passing, but I hope you get more emails from him. I hope he continues to send you more of those forwards around, and good luck to you. Gary is in Katy, Texas on Coast to Coast AM. Gary?
Hi, Ian. How you doing?
Good. You're probably our last caller for this hour of Open Line, so go ahead.
Well, I'm lucky to get on. I just wanted to call and tell you about a story. First of all, I'll just get to the end of it, just to get to the cut to the chase. Basically, I saw a UFO and got video of it in Stevensville Saturday night at 9:42 p.m.
You were in Stevensville and you caught something?
Yes.
Well, I hope you send us a copy of that.
Well, right now there's Steve Hutchinson and Jeremy Ray from MUFON here in Texas.
Right.
They're going to take this video and send it to California for some kind of forensic analysis so they can pull it off. Nobody's seen it yet but me. Now, the video is really rough. My wife kind of shot it as we're going down East Washington towards the northeast.
Interesting.
Approaching the courthouse downtown in Stevensville.
Well, I haven't been there, but it sure has been interesting. Why do you think they keep going to Stevensville?
I don't know. I have a lot of questions and no answers regarding things like, regarding all subject matter.
Right.
But that's just the end result. That's just like the icing on the cake of an ongoing story that I've been going through for the last year.
Okay, we've got a little bit of time. Go ahead.
Okay, earlier, probably about a year ago, I just had this kind of like an obsessive feeling in my gut. Enough to where I would mention it to my wife, but I just thought that the alien UFO existence thing was going to bust open this year. And then, I mentioned to her once or twice, and I've been living with this compulsion, or I don't know if you call it an anxiety or a compulsion or whatever, but it's just like something in my gut told me that this was going to bust open, the subject matter in general. And then in September, here in Katy, Texas, I started having these sightings. I've had over 200 UFO sightings.
Well, that's awesome. Well, Make sure you keep getting them on videotape. Don't go anywhere without a video camera. I don't care where you're going. And get as many of those captured and analyzed, and let's get them on our website soon so everybody else can see them too. And it doesn't matter why Stevensville. I'm just kind of curious about that. And by the way, I just talked to somebody, emailed me and said that maybe one of the reasons why a previous caller kept getting knocked off of the InfoWars site or Prison Planet was because too many people were logging on all at once. Maybe when Alex Jones was doing a radio show or something, and there was just no bandwidth left available or no space for her to get in on. It's over my head, but that's what I'm reporting to you. Last 2 hours, open lines next on Coast to Coast AM.